Welcome to Animals Today, your home for a serious talk about animals. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. I've been a vegetarian since age 13, and later on, when I came to really understand the animal cruelty inherent in the dairy industry, I adopted a vegan diet. So animal welfare concerns really led me to adopt a plant-based diet. And there are those who are attracted to plant-based diets for health reasons. There's a ton of evidence as to the health benefits of plant-based diets, including reducing cancer risk, reducing cardiovascular risk, such as strokes and heart attack, reversing type 2 diabetes, and more. Now, the third benefit or rationale for adopting plant-based diets, or at least eating less meat and dairy, is finally being articulated and promoted. And it is that plant-based diets are simply less harmful to the planet than meat-intensive diets. But rarely do you hear about someone going vegan because he or she is an environmentalist. Well, I'm telling you, the connection between what we eat and the global environment is very real and becoming discussed more and more. Today, our focus is diet and the environment, including the animals in it. And I hope the show will illustrate the global impact our diets can have. I'm now pleased to welcome Stephanie Feldstein from the Center for Biological Diversity, where she is the Population and Sustainability Director. Welcome to the program, Stephanie.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Stephanie, the Center has a campaign called Take Extinction Off Your Plate. What is it, and why did the Center for Biological Diversity launch it?
The Take Extinction Off Your Plate campaign is a campaign to raise awareness about the link between meat consumption and threats to wildlife and the planet, and to encourage people to reduce their own environmental footprint by eating less meat. We started the campaign because the Center for Biological Diversity has been addressing the link between human population growth and the wildlife extinction crisis for about 5 years now. And a few months ago, we decided to expand the program to address both population and overconsumption, since they're so closely tied together. And we wanted to start by tackling the industries that really do the most damage to wildlife and the environment. Many people don't realize that the meat industry is right at the top of that list. It takes an incredible amount of feed crops, land, water, and fossil fuels to produce meat, and the process leaves behind habitat loss, pollution from pesticides and manure, and climate change. The livestock industry is really a significant source of greenhouse gas emissions, for example. The Food and Agriculture Organization puts the number at about 14.5%, which is more than all forms of transportation combined. But other studies say that meat production is responsible for as much as 51% of global greenhouse gas emissions.
Please explain about the consumption of resources, water, and feed used to produce meat relative to growing edible plants. To me, these data are very powerful and ought to motivate anyone who really cares about the environment.
Yeah, there's absolutely a huge difference between the two. Meat is an incredibly inefficient process. For example, here in the U.S., about 80% of our agricultural land is used just to raise feed for livestock. And that adds up to almost half the landmass of the lower 48 states. Water is another one where there's a very obvious difference. Studies have shown that it takes somewhere between about 1,600 and 2,500 gallons of water to produce 1 pound of beef. So everything that you might do in an entire week to conserve water, such as not watering your lawn or taking shorter showers, using water-saving appliances, will all be completely undone by a single quarter-pounder hamburger. And that tends to be at least 100 times more water than is needed to grow the same amount of plant-based protein.
Let's speak about wildlife, Stephanie. What is the impact of the meat industry on wildlife, and what wildlife species does it threaten?
Yeah, absolutely. Climate change that I mentioned earlier brings a whole host of problems, from warming temperatures to rising sea levels that make it difficult for wildlife to adapt. A few months ago, actually, some researchers in Sweden determined that the emissions from the livestock industry could double by 2070, and it would make it nearly impossible for countries to meet key goals for curbing climate change if they didn't reduce their meat consumption. The impact of raising livestock on land is also huge. As I mentioned, so much of our agricultural land, not only in the U.S., but around the world, goes toward just growing food to feed livestock. But also grazing has a huge impact. For example, grazing on public lands, where it's heavily promoted and subsidized by the government, there are 175 already threatened and endangered species that are further endangered by the presence of cattle. Water pollution is also.
Yeah. Good. Go ahead, please.
Oh, sure. Water pollution is also a huge factor. There are about 35,000 miles of rivers in the U.S. that have been polluted by factory farm runoff. A lot of that is just a huge amount of manure that's produced by livestock. There's about 500 million tons of manure per year in the U.S. just produced by the livestock industry.
Wow.
And one more thing that I want to mention is the direct killing of wildlife. A lot of people don't realize that there's an agency within the Department of Agriculture called Wildlife Services that kills millions of animals every year, largely at the request of the livestock industry. We see animals like wolves and grizzly bears targeted to protect profits, and grazing animals are seen as competition for feed crops.
Wow, that's incredible. Stephanie, let's now talk about fish and the impact of fish consumption on the environment, whether caught in the seas or harvested in fish farms. A lot of people and environmental groups look to the seas as a source of sustainable protein, which I have to say I don't approve of. But what does the center say about fish?
Yeah, when we talk about reducing meat consumption, we're really talking about all forms of animal protein, including fish. Fish, whether raised in farms or caught in the sea, present a lot of problems for wildlife and the planet. Fish farms, for example, have a lot of the same issues that land factory farms have. There's a lot of runoff and spread of disease, escape. Most of them are actually right near the ocean, so there are issues with escaped fish and invasive species and all of those kinds of issues. And, you know, when you're looking at wild-caught fish, there are a lot of problems around the world with fisheries management, and we're seeing a lot of species that are being overfished to the brink of extinction. Like, you hear a lot about the bluefin tuna that's still served, even here in the U.S., in a lot of sushi restaurants. And the other big problem with wild fish is that there's a huge problem with bycatch. So it's not just the fish that wind up on your plate, but going into catching those, there are also endangered species and sea turtles and dolphins and other animals that are caught in those nets as well and wind up being collateral damage to the fish industry.
What are you asking people to do in this campaign?
Well, there are a few things that we're asking people to do. One of the first is to take the pledge to reduce your own meat consumption, even reducing by as little as a third of your current consumption can have a huge impact on wildlife and the environment. And we're also asking people to share not only the pledge, but the message as well. It's really important that people keep this conversation going, sharing the information with your friends, and get people talking about the impact of meat consumption on the planet and wildlife. We really need to raise awareness that this is a serious and an urgent issue. And one of the other things that we're seeing is, while plant-based diets have become more popular, we still need a broader cultural shift toward more meatless meals. Part of that is getting more people talking about it, but part of it, too, is also shifting the way that people more broadly think about incorporating meatless meals into their diet. That's why we launched a consumer petition asking McDonald's to add meatless options to its menu. You can find that petition at stopmcclimatechange.org. I mean, McDonald's may not be the restaurant of choice for many environmental and animal advocates, but it is for 70 million people every single day. So if McDonald's started offering real meat-free options, it could have a big impact on the way that people think about food. So I always encourage people to ask their local restaurants and schools for more meatless alternatives or to join the Meatless Monday movement. I mean, the more widely available these options are, the easier it is for everyone to eat less meat.
Very good. Don't go away. We're talking to Stephanie Feldstein from the Center for Biological Diversity, talking about a campaign that they have called Take Extinction Off Your Plate. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. You're listening to Animals Today. Animals Today is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. Check them out at aianimals.org. That's aianimals.org. Animals Today depends on your support. from you, the listeners. If you want to support the show, your donation of any amount is very much appreciated. Again, that's AIAnimals.org. On the Animals Today website, you'll find all our previously recorded shows, which you can listen to and share with others. AnimalsTodayRadio.com, AnimalsTodayRadio.com. Thanks again for tuning in to Animals Today.
As temperatures climb, please remember to never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute on a warm day with the windows cracked and in the shade. The temperature inside a car can climb up in a matter of minutes, and it's enough to kill your pet. If you love your pet, leave them at home or with someone you trust to keep them cool, comfortable, and alive. And if you see a dog or other pet in a car, you may only have a moment to save their life. Here are a couple of steps that you should remember. Make an announcement in the store or business the car is parked nearest to, and call the police department or animal control right away. Remember, it only takes a minute or two on a hot day to kill an animal left inside a car. Your swift action can save a life. Dogs are unable to cool themselves the way people can. Never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute.
This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. You can check them out at AIAnimals.org. That's the letter A, AIAnimals.org.
Hi, this is Dr. Lori Kirshner from Advancing the Interests of Animals, and here are a few more ways you can be kind to animals, beginning with this. Report suspected animal abuse or neglect. If you see an underfed dog or an animal left in a car on a hot day, report it right away. You could be saving a life. Try a vegetarian diet, even just for a week. Decreasing and then stopping consumption of animals is probably the best way to show your appreciation for them and for the environment, too. Don't buy cosmetics or household products that have been tested on animals. That's easy these days. And finally, don't wear clothing made from animals. Begin by saying no to fur and gradually give up animal products like leather and wool. It's easier than you might imagine. This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. Please visit us at AIAnimals.org. That's AIAnimals.org.
Got pain? Get Zim's Max Freeze. Zim's Max Freeze. Maximum muscle and joint pain relief. Your solution for temporary relief of aches and pains. Zim's Max Freeze knows your pain and relieves backaches, strains, bruises, and sprains. If you're a senior, weekend warrior, or seasoned athlete, get Zim's Max Freeze. Zim's Max Freeze is fast-acting and deep-penetrating with no lingering odor. Available at all major retailers.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS that you can't pay? Call now for immediate help. 866-657-8517. At Community Tax Relief, we help consumers like you. If you take on the IRS alone, you could be facing levies, liens, even wage garnishments, personal or business tax issues. If you owe the IRS $10,000 or more, they will aggressively come after you. Protect yourself and your family today from what the IRS can do to you. Call now. 866-657-8517. They can freeze your bank account, even garnish your wages. Our expert team of tax professionals can solve your tax problems once and for all. Call now for a free 5-minute tax debt analysis. 866-657-8517. 866-657-8517. 866-657-8517.
You know Bellawood Flooring for its beauty and durability. And now at Lumber Liquidators, Bellawood Flooring is on sale. Get 10% off every Bellawood pre-finished floor, including solid hardwood, ultra-strand bamboo, and Bellawood mat with a unique oil-finished look. Save big on pre-finished hardwood at just $169 a square foot and Black Forest laminate for only 49 cents. So go to LumberLiquidators.com today to find the store nearest you. Over 70 flooring deals and special 12-month financings available. But hurry, the sale ends Tuesday.
Welcome back to the show. We're speaking to Stephanie Feldstein from the Center for Biological Diversity. Stephanie, do you find it difficult for people to make the connection that what they eat will make a difference in the world?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think that a lot of people, there's so much that goes into our daily food decisions, from our backgrounds to our cultures and health decisions, as well as the messages that we see every day, largely driven by the agriculture lobby. And so I think it can be challenging for people to want to make that connection and really think more broadly than what's on their plate. But, you know, that's why I think it's so effective that having another voice in the conversation. You know, the animal protection groups have done a great job about raising awareness about the impacts to the farm animals themselves. But, you know, a lot of people haven't really thought about the way that what they eat impacts wildlife and the planet. And right. Talking about that directly has really opened up the conversation. And, you know, we've gotten a great response to it. And it's getting people to look at the issue in a new way. And we hope that that will help be the tipping point for many of them to start rethinking how they eat.
Discuss the locavore movement and organic meat advocates and whether you feel they are more environmentally responsible than people who eat like most Americans do. People tend to point to these choices, Stephanie, with pride because they claim they are less harmful to the environment.
Yeah, I think there's been a lot of enthusiasm around grass-fed, organic, and locally raised meat. And it's great that people are paying attention to factory farming. It's a horrible system. But switching to another source of meat won't solve the problem on its own. I mean, we've already talked a bit about some of the threats that grazing cattle, for instance, present to wildlife. They destroy vegetation and habitat, and they're wreaking havoc on ecosystems. And some studies have even shown that cows raised on grass-fed diets actually emit more methane than grain-fed cows. And so it's not as environmentally friendly as a lot of people think. But the bottom line is actually this. There are too many people eating too much meat for any form of meat production to be sustainable. And right now in the U.S., there are about 32 livestock animals per person. And if you think about it, if all of those animals were raised locally in free range, where would they go? I mean, the only way to really protect the environment and wildlife is to reduce meat consumption across the board, and then we can really look at whether there are any methods of raising livestock that are truly sustainable.
Great point. Stephanie, to me, one of the big elephants in the living room is the huge amount of environmental damage caused by and greenhouse gases emitted by China, India, and other countries. The U.S. has no control over. The green energy advocates and many politicians here seem to forget that the U.S. is not alone here on the earth. But regarding diet, if you're trying to persuade a meat eater to change their diet to cut down on greenhouse gas emissions, who could fault them for saying, okay, buddy, just as soon as you get the Chinese and the Indians to do the same? So what do you think? Why should I change my behavior when other huge countries are such big polluters?
Well, part of the issue is that we're all in this together and we're each responsible for our own environmental footprint. But beyond that, one of the big reasons why we chose to start tackling overconsumption and sustainability issues alongside the population work we are already doing is because the U.S. continues to have one of the largest environmental footprints in the world per person. And we continue to eat more meat per person than almost anyone else in the world. And so even though there are signs that our meat consumption per person is stabilizing in this country and that other countries such as China, where there's been an increase in wealth and there are more people, and so we're seeing an overall increase in meat consumption there, our population continues to grow here in the U.S. as well, which means the overall demand for meat will continue to increase. So that's why, in addition to addressing population growth by making sure everyone in the world who wants access to contraception, reproductive health care, and education is able to get it, we all need to start taking extinction off our plates. And I think by eating less meat, particularly here in the U.S., we can reduce the demand, reduce the impact on the environment, and really set a positive example.
I find it strange and hypocritical that zoos, especially when they promote their conservation and animal protection beliefs, serve meat at their food concessions for visitors. Do you or the Center for Biological Diversity have any opinion about what zoos serve their visitors or about zoos more generally?
You know, that's something that we really haven't addressed directly. You know, our main focus is really working on protecting wildlife in the wild. We do a lot of work at the Center for Biological Diversity, for instance, using the Endangered Species Act to make sure that species who are in trouble have what they need, the support that they need out in the wild, and that there's critical habitat that's designated to really help them thrive in the wild.
Stephanie, on this show, we have seen glaring examples of a disconnect between caring about animals and personal dietary practices, even among experts working in the field. If someone has devoted their professional lives to protection of animals in the wild, it does not make sense to me that they go home and eat meat-intensive diets. Have you observed that?
Yeah, you know, I've seen a lot of that as well. And, you know, I think that, as I mentioned earlier, people are so uncomfortable talking about dietary choices because it's just so tied up in who we are and where we come from. And I think it's a difficult thing both individually and within the movement for people to address those personal lifestyle choices because they are seen as being very personal. But when you look at the climate crisis and the wildlife extinction crisis and the role that meat consumption plays, it's clear that we need to be having that conversation. And even if people aren't ready to make major changes in their diet, everyone has at least 3 chances a day to look at what they're eating and make better choices for the planet and wildlife.
Stephanie, a few years ago, there was a great episode of Freakonomics titled, "Hey Baby, Is That a Prius You're Driving?" And this particular show featured 2 economists who presented their thesis about signaling and demonstrated that people who profess to care about the environment are more interested in making public displays over acting privately in more meaningful ways to help the environment. Are you familiar with that idea, and what do you think?
You know, I have heard of that, and I think it's a mixture of things. You know, we have a lot of supporters, and we work with a lot of people every day who care about the environment, and even though I think sometimes there's a disconnect, I think some of that disconnect comes from a well-intentioned place, you know, that people, it can be very overwhelming working on environmental issues. You know, you hear a lot of doomsday news about the climate and the planet, and I think that there's a lot of difficult information for people to sift through. So that's why, you know, we really focus, particularly in the Population and Sustainability Program, in getting messages out there to help people better understand the scope of the problem and what they can do in their personal lives to really make a difference. And I think part of it is just, you know, getting that information in people's hands and helping them understand what they can do that's effective.
How can my listeners learn more about your campaign?
The best way is to visit the website, which is www.takeextinctionoffyourplate.com. And on that site, we have a bunch of great background information, some resources to help people get started, the pledge that they can sign and share. Even for your listeners who are already vegetarian or vegan, there's an option on the pledge to sign as a vegetarian and vegan and say that you're going to share it with other people to help get this information and get the conversation going. And as I mentioned earlier, you can also sign the petition asking McDonald's for more meatless options as well at stopmcclimatechange.org.
Stephanie Feldstein, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, Lori.
Hi, this is Dr. Lori Kirshner, and I want to thank you for listening to Animals Today. Make sure to visit us on animalstodayradio.com, where you will see all our previous shows, and you can download them free. That's animalstodayradio.com. Also, make sure to become a friend on Facebook. Animals Today gets a lot of its support from the nonprofit group Advancing the Interests of Animals. Check them out at aianimals.org, and I hope you'll consider making a donation to help pay for the ongoing broadcast of Animals Today. Each week on Animals Today, we strive to bring you the highest quality, most up-to-date information about all animal welfare topics, and we certainly would appreciate your support. That website again is aianimals.org. And thanks for listening.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. it can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, and we have great rates for smokers, too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
Wow. Geico's been saving people money for over 75 years.
75 years. Fancy that.
My dearest wife, do you possess knowledge about Geico, making it feasible for society to spend less capital on automobile insurance for over 75 years?
Why are you talking like that?
We said fancy that, so I was just fancying it.
Geico, saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS that you can't pay? Call now for immediate help. 866-657-8517. At Community Tax Relief, we help consumers like you. If you take on the IRS alone, you could be facing levies, liens, even wage garnishments, personal or business tax issues. If you owe the IRS $10,000 or more, they will aggressively come after you. Protect yourself and your family today from what the IRS can do to you. Call now. 866-657-8517. They can freeze your bank account, even garnish your wages. Our expert team of tax professionals can solve your tax problems once and for all. Call now for a free 5-minute tax debt analysis. 866-657-8517. 866-657-8517. 866-657-8517.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
You know Bellawood Flooring for its beauty and durability. And now at Lumber Liquidators, Bellawood Flooring is on sale. Get 10% off every Bellawood pre-finished floor, including solid hardwood, ultra strand bamboo, and Bellawood mat with a unique oil finished look. Save big on pre-finished hardwood at just $169 a square foot and Black Forest laminate for only 49 cents. So go to LumberLiquidators.com today to find the store nearest you. Over 70 flooring deals and special 12-month financings available. But hurry, the sale ends Tuesday.
Welcome back to Animals Today. Hi, Peter.
Hey, Lori.
So we're in summer now.
Yeah.
108 today in the Palm Springs Desert?
Yeah.
So what is the meaning of dog days?
Dog days?
Yeah, I'm going to give you a quiz today.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, this is the first question of the quiz. What is the meaning of dog days?
Dog days.
It's the time of year when even a dog is too hot to go fetch.
Uh-huh.
The time of year when dogs do the most howling and barking. It has nothing to do with dogs. It's all about the stars.
Oh. That's it?
That's it.
Okay, I don't know. I would guess something about the heat.
No. It's nothing to do with dogs. It's all about the stars. It dates back to Roman times when it was believed that Sirius, the dog star, was somehow responsible for the hot weather.
Oh, a little bit about heat.
Okay.
Okay, well, serious, though. Okay.
What animal has the longest lifespan?
Mm-hmm.
Elephant, blue whale, giant tortoise, locust.
The tortoise. Giant tortoise.
That's right. Okay. Lifespan of giant tortoise is about 150 years, making it the longest living animal on the planet. In captivity, some giant tortoises have lived as long as 177 years.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Just really, can't pick one up.
No, you have to plan for them for your great-great-great-grandchildren. Crepuscular. What is the meaning of crepuscular?
Crepuscular?
That's the word of the day. Crepuscular. Are animals that are active primarily during twilight, like dawn and dusk, are animals that are very muscular, or is crepuscular a French pastry?
Oh, boy. Well, how about the first answer?
Okay. Animals that are most active at dawn and dusk are called crepuscular. That's correct.
These I never heard that.
Yeah.
How do you spell that?
C-R-E-P-U-S-C-U-L-A-R. Mm. These times of days are cooler than midday. The half dark makes prey animals less visible, yet visibility is good enough to locate food. Mm. Some animals are crepuscular mostly because their prey is crepuscular.
Okay, that makes sense.
So knowing that, Peter, which of the following are not crepuscular? Coyotes, porcupines, desert cottontails, black-tailed jackrabbits, or bats and owls?
Mm. Maybe the bats and owls.
That's right. Bats and owls are nocturnal.
Okay, nocturnal. You know, I do see those, especially those rabbits out at dusk.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Which of the following about guinea pigs are false? Guinea pigs have four toes on each of their front feet. Guinea pigs are tailless rodents. Guinea pigs originated in Peru, in South America. And like other rodents, guinea pigs are nocturnal. Which of those are false?
False. I would say Peru is false.
That's incorrect.
Uh-huh.
Unlike most rodents, guinea pigs are not nocturnal. Instead, they prefer taking mini naps during the daytime.
Okay.
Okay.
Hey, what do you call that? I don't know what to call that. Did you ever have a guinea pig?
No.
Were you ever, like, we used to have, like, classroom pets that would last for a couple of days and then die. And
then you dissect them.
Yes.
I don't like that.
We had gerbils.
Gerbils?
In, like, elementary school.
Really?
Like a cage of gerbils. And over Christmas, you know, I wanted to bring them home. And was
for what purposes?
Just, I know responsibility or torture of the gerbil. I don't really know. This goes decades back. Everyone knows. It's getting to be ancient history here.
Well, you remember the frogs we dissected, right?
Yes, I remember
that
dissecting
terrible.
Frogs. I know.
For what purpose does that serve? Okay, so here we go. Next one, the term ruminant.
Ruminant.
Ruminant, when referring to animals, what does that mean? Refers to an animal with horns. Ruminants are the offspring of platypuses.
Okay.
Platypuses. Ruminants are animals whose stomach consists of four compartments.
Okay. I'll go with the stomach compartment.
This thing. Okay. Yes, that's correct. The first and largest is the rumen, in which grasses are stored after ingestion.
Rumen is the first stomach.
That's correct.
Okay.
So the ruminants, the animals, when at rest, they regurgitate their food, they chew it and swallow it. And the regurgitated food will then pass to the second and third and fourth stomach, which is the true stomach.
Okay.
So examples of ruminants, right?
Yeah.
You know?
I know.
Okay.
Cow.
Cattle. Sheep, goats, camel, right.
Camels. Yes.
Yeah, they're all examples of ruminant animals. So on the other hand, you have the monogastric animals like humans.
Yes.
And dogs and cats and pigs and lions and tigers. So they have one stomach and they swallow food once without regurgitating, at least some people.
Right. What a system.
Yeah. A newborn kangaroo is about the size of a lima bean, plum, grapefruit, or watermelon.
Wow. A newborn kangaroo. Grapefruit. Grapefruit-sized kangaroo.
No, a lima bean.
Lima bean.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
That's a huge lima bean.
I know.
You mean a regular-sized lima bean?
The regular-sized lima bean.
Oh. That's tiny.
A newborn kangaroo is about 1 inch in length,
uh-huh.
which is about the size of a lima bean. Still essentially fetus, this little newborn swims, quote, swims through its mother's fur to reach her pouch, where it latches onto a teat, which swells inside its mouth.
Wow.
The baby kangaroo or joey will remain fused to the teat for 4 to 5 weeks. After 7 to 8 months inside its mother's pouch, the infant will venture outside, returning only to feed. Mm. In the case of multiple infants belonging to the same mother, each infant feeds only from its own individual teat, and each teat provides a different mixture of nutrients depending on the age of that particular infant.
That's clever.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, that's another good system.
What is not true of a hummingbird? Remember I asked you a hummingbird question on another quiz way back when? Mm-hmm. Like, what's
the weight
heavier, right? A penny or a hummingbird?
And you said at that time that the hummingbird was lighter than a penny.
And you didn't believe me.
I did not.
And you still don't.
I'm skeptical.
Okay, well.
But do you still believe that to be true?
Well, I did an internet search at the time, I thought.
Yeah.
And a fact says hummingbird is lighter than a penny.
Wow.
Okay. What is not true of a hummingbird in this situation? A hummingbird can flap its wings about 80 times per second. Hummingbirds can fly left, right, up, down, backwards, or even upside down. Parents teach fledglings to fly.
Mm-hmm.
They have a heart rate of approximately 1,260 beats per minute.
Wow.
Which is not true.
The teaching to fly is probably
That's correct.
Not true. Yeah.
So flying is instinctual for hummingbirds and other avian species, so they don't have to be taught. And true, yep, they have they flap their wings about 80 times per second. Their heartbeat is 1,260 beats per minute. Right? And due to their unique structure of their wings, hummingbirds can fly left, right, up, down, backwards, and even upside down. They can even hover by flapping their wings in a figure eight pattern.
Great.
Yeah.
Didn't you have a hummingbird eye injury sort of encounter when you were resident in ophthalmology training?
Oh, that was a fable.
A fable? What do you mean? I mean,
there was this story about some
that would sort of go around the residents.
Some hummingbird poked a man in the eye because the man got too close to the hummingbird's nest.
Yeah,
the hummingbird was territorial and poked him in the eye.
Yes,
and he developed a terrible fungus infection, and they had to remove the eye.
No.
I never witnessed that.
Yeah.
It went down from class to class to class.
Right.
So it's a fable.
I know every time we're taking the dogs for a walk and a hummingbird comes nearby, you sort of cover your eyes a little bit.
Close your eyes. My eyes.
So you know it's probably false. I mean, that's the one time you've ever heard about this. So you haven't heard of second instance.
Never.
Yeah.
Never. But why do I still cover my eyes?
Yes, I know.
Don't poke me in the eye.
So a less than one penny projectile is going to blind you.
Okay. Last question.
Thank goodness.
What animal has the highest blood pressure? Giraffe?
Oh, that I know.
You do?
I think I know.
Giraffe, blue whale, elephant, flea?
Flea pressure?
I'm sorry,
Mr. Flea.
Or your typical eye surgeon?
Yeah. I go with the giraffe.
That's correct.
With that neck.
Yes. Yes. Because the head is 2 meters away from the heart, giraffes are big animals. It needs to somehow get that blood up to its head.
Yes.
So very high blood pressure, 280 over 180, which is about twice that found in humans, right?
Yep.
So there you go.
That's a big headache.
Yeah. Oh, I should say one. I should say one other thing. It was previously thought that a giraffe had a really big heart to get this blood moving. But recent research has revealed that there isn't room in the body cavity for this. Instead, the giraffe has a relatively small heart, and its power comes from a very strong beat as a result of the incredibly thick walls of the left ventricle. So I don't even know it's true.
Oh, I thought they would figure out the heart size sometime
ago. Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks, Peter. You did well.
Well, you asked questions that are at my level. How about that? Just keep them right there, okay?
Okay. Okay, thank you. Don't go away. You're listening to Animals Today.
Oh.
That's the sound of a dog whose vocal cords were cut just to stifle her voice. It's called devocalization, and it's done to cats as well. Devocalized animals rasp and wheeze, cough and gag the rest of their lives. Some are rendered mute. And for what? So a commercial or hobby breeder can keep many animals without having to listen to them. So show dogs will be quiet in transit between shows or in the ring. So an irresponsible pet owner can leave a dog alone for hours every day. Animals Today joins with Coalition to Protect and Rescue Pets in saying shame on anyone who would have a dog or cat devocalized, and shame on the vets who perform this inhumane, unnecessary surgery for them. Please speak out against devocalization of dogs and cats. Use your voice. Protect theirs.
This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. You can check them out at AIAnimals.org.
Do you make over $50,000 a year? Are you a full-time W-2 employee? How would you support your family if you lost your job? Could you survive on what state unemployment pays? Plan ahead with Income Assure Private Supplemental Unemployment Insurance that brings you up from what state unemployment pays to 50% of your former weekly salary. If your salary is over $50,000 a year, you're a full-time W-2 employee, and you want to protect your family and assets. Call Income Assure for a free quote. 800-308-2249. 800-308-2249. 800-308-2249. That's 800-308-2249. See how little it costs to secure up to 50% of your salary with Income Assure Private Supplemental Unemployment Insurance. Call Income Assure now or visit us online at www.incomeassure.com/ATM. www.incomeassure.com/ATM.
Got pain? Get Zim's Max Freeze. Zim's Max Freeze. Maximum muscle and joint pain relief. Your solution for temporary relief of aches and pains. Zim's Max Freeze knows your pain and relieves backaches, strains, bruises, and sprains. If you're a senior, weekend warrior, or seasoned athlete, get Zim's Max Freeze. Zim's Max Freeze is fast-acting and deep-penetrating with no lingering odor. Available at all major retailers.
Do you make over $50,000 a year? Are you a full-time W-2 employee? How would you support your family if you lost your job? Could you survive on what state unemployment pays? Plan ahead with Income Assure Private Supplemental Unemployment Insurance that brings you up from what state unemployment pays to 50% of your former weekly salary. If your salary is over $50,000 a year, you're a full-time W-2 employee, and you want to protect your family and assets. Call Income Assure for a free quote. 800-308-2249. 800-308-2249. 800-308-2249. That's 800-308-2249. See how little it costs to secure up to 50% of your salary with Income Assure Private Supplemental Unemployment Insurance. Call Income Assure now or visit us online at www.incomeassure.com/ATM. www.incomeassure.com/ATM.
I try to put myself out there, but it seems they're all the same, just telling me what I want to hear.
Don't fret. You can find your car insurance soulmate. It's easy at Geico.com. You can pay your bill, manage your policy, and you could even save some major cash. If we could reach through the computer to pull your chair out for you and give you a kiss on the hand, we would. Because you deserve to be in a happy, healthy car insurance relationship. That's what life is all about. For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Welcome back to the show. Hi, Peter.
Hey, Lori. How you doing?
Hit me.
Hit me.
Hit me with the news.
Well, little news about the bracket. You know, people talk about the NCAA brackets, but there's a parallel bracket run by and published by Consumerist that aims to determine the worst company in America each year.
Wow.
And people can vote, and it's done in that format. You pit company against company. And this year, the finalists are Comcast and Monsanto. And sharing the number three and number four are Walmart and SeaWorld.
Interesting.
So SeaWorld, a dark horse, can I say that? They, following the bad year they had in 2013, is now either the third or the fourth most disliked company in America.
Wow.
So talk about, that's a tough year. I'll just share that with you. We'll see what happens next year. We've talked about the canned pigeon shoots, in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And finally, after a lot of work done by the group Shark, led by our friend and colleague Steve Hindy, progress seems to be at hand because the State Judiciary Committee has advanced a bill to ban the pigeon shoots. For years, according to Release, Shark has video documented and exposed live pigeon shoots in Pennsylvania, wherein the emaciated birds, remember, they're launched from small boxes and shot for fun.
Yeah.
And it's just a real sickening thing. And
the shooters get their kids to go.
It's a family event.
And right.
It's really insane. And Steve and Shark have been very diligent and sort of tireless and brave to get in the face of these shooters, many of whom are government officials or even law enforcement officials. And so not backing down and employing even drones to video document what's going on. And they were able to add an amendment to ban pigeon shooting to a additional bill that is going to ban raising dogs and cats for human consumption, which seems that that's likely to pass. So we want to congratulate Steve and Shark for their great work. They were able to team up with Bob Barker, and you can watch Bob talking about this on video in his typical impassioned manner.
Yeah, this is fantastic news. I just love Steve.
In a rare show of solidarity, many hunters and NRA members nationwide have joined the animal protection community in demanding an end to pigeon shoots.
Wow. Is it surprising to you?
It's surprising because 2 years ago they were silent.
Right.
And Steve was trying to explain to them how it's not good for their reputation to allow this, which is not a sport and has nothing to do with what the NRA claims.
Well, apparently got the point across to them.
So there you go. So congratulations, and let us know, Steve, how this goes along. We hear stories once in a while about police officers, other law enforcement officials not exercising restraint when they come across a dog out in the field. And unfortunately, once in a while, you hear a story of a dog being shot by police officers who have entered a home or have felt the dog to be endangering them, right?
And many times they're not.
And many times they're not. And the latest flavor of this comes recently in Salt Lake City, whereby the department was searching for a lost three-year-old and entered the backyard of a homeowner and came across a 110-pound, two-year-old Weimaraner, I think I'm saying that right, huge dog, and who was fenced in the backyard and killed the dog.
The police shot the dog dead.
Shot the dog, yes.
And the police entered the backyard.
Entered the backyard, ostensibly looking for a lost kid. And I don't, there's some question as to whether they're even permitted to do that, but certainly the community is up in arms. And
well, they should be.
That's right.
They should be, even if the dog was just protecting its own property.
That's right.
Right?
And
even right.
Well, the dog was named Geist, and there is now a group formed called Justice for Geist, and they have released an announcement they have put out a press release stating, quote, this police officer is in violation of cruelty to animals and should be arrested under those charges.
Good.
Until then, the people of the state of Utah will protest and rally. The citizens of the state of Utah will also be seeking changes in the law to protect people and their dogs from police misconduct and excessive force. And we are contacting the state legislators presently to effect great changes.
It's a very sad story.
It happens once in a while. I'm not unsympathetic to the risks involved in being a police officer. I think we need some more training and a little bit of better decision making, don't you think?
Yes, Peter, I agree. But to me, it doesn't matter, first of all, it doesn't matter if it's a 110-pound dog, like in this case, or a 5-pound dog. Mm-hmm. Secondly, it doesn't matter if the dog was just sitting there calmly when this police officer went onto the property, or the dog was protecting its own property, and the police officer perceived it as being aggressive. The dog has a right to protect its own property.
That's right. That's why you have a dog.
Right. That's
correct. In many cases.
Right.
Right. Okay, well, I assure you this story is going to get bigger and bigger. I can feel it online, and everyone's very excited about it, so we'll track this for everybody. And we'll see what happens. Maybe there's some legislation we'll follow. Finally, today, New York State is on the verge of passing a very important ban on the sale of ivory and rhino horn. And did you know, we've talked about the ivory trade recently, that New York is the second largest market around the world for these products.
Wow.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Following China.
Right.
And New York State is the second largest market. And so it is more than a symbolic gesture here, which was my first thought, not knowing how big the market was. And the legislation would place a permanent ban on the sale of elephant and mammoth ivory and rhino horn. And it authorizes the Department of Environmental Conservation to issue permits for antique elephant ivory. So that will sort of quiet down those objections. And then it states the various penalties. So this is a great bipartisan effort. It's on the governor's desk right now.
Fantastic. Thanks, Peter.
Yeah.
All right. And thank you for listening to Animals Today. This is Dr. Lori Kirshner encouraging you to nurture your love and compassion for the only other beings sharing our planet, the animals.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.